makes me wanna holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for even radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies, I got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab.
Oh, you know we need them. Yeah, we need those strategies. Those strategies for living. So are you ready? You're ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I think I'm ready.
Well, shame on you.
I was afraid you'd say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. Hold that thought. We'll get to that. Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist Lauren Leon McMillan. How many of us, whether in our households growing up or in school, you know, how many of us heard, well, shame on you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got some version of that, you know, got some version of guilt that maybe even then, you know, transformed into this shame that we often, I think a lot of us.
Yeah. Well,
here's, heavy dose of.
Here are some questions that we have a wonderful life strategist today who has a new book out. It's called Shame Unmasked, Disarming the Hidden Driver Behind Our Destructive Decisions. He is Rick Patterson. So here's the questions.
Okay.
Does it sometimes feel like you're your own worst enemy?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Do your failures haunt and even manipulate you? Is your ego drive and need to win damaging your relationships?
I like that last one because that one is kind of, that is a masked shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people wouldn't call that particular behavior a form of shame. And
no,
yet,
I mean, there's a lot of,
there's a lot.
There's a lot in here to unmask, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's called, Rick calls it the hidden driver. We're going to ask about that and look at that. We're not too ashamed to do that.
No, thankfully not.
We're not ashamed at all to look at our shame today because it's going to be...
I think it's important that we all meet it.
Oh, absolutely.
And face it within ourselves and others.
If you don't, you can't change what you don't acknowledge, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to ask Rick Patterson to be our shame expert today. Shame Unmasked is what's on taps today for Strategies for Living with Rick Patterson as our life strategist. Folks, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. Rick Patterson, our life strategist, gonna unmask shame for us today, right here on Strategies. Stay with us. Welcome in. Welcome into Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program now Rick Patterson. Rick drew on his diverse experiences in writing his new book, Shame Unmasked, He's an engineer who is employed in corporate America. He earned a master's and doctoral degrees in ministry, served as an ordained pastor, and after he and his wife adopted a sibling group of four children, he realized the pervasive effect of shame across religious, professional, racial, gender, and generational lines. Rick currently works in the paper industry, and he speaks and writes about how people can recognize and disarm shame to regain control of their lives. Rick Patterson, welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome into Strategies.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I mean, this is such an important topic. You know, you and I chatted a little bit when we set this up, Rick. I'm not sure that we could be talking about anything more important than what we're talking about today. You call it a hidden driver. How did you begin to work with this to the point of this wonderful book that I've got in front of me?
Well, you know, for me, especially the beginning of the book talks about this, but really the big question for me is why am I doing what I do?
Yeah.
Why are these behaviors that I don't like about myself, that I'm not proud of, that that I actually don't want it? Why do I keep doing these things? And I can remember for me personally, it was an anger outburst at one of my kids who was then a preteen, one of my adopted kids. And I ended up hitting a wall and breaking my hand. Mm-hmm. You know, and because my kid rolled her eyes at me, and I like that's kind of an overreaction, don't you think?
The wall wasn't real happy about it.
Well, I don't think the wall cared, but
your hand did.
My hand did, and you know what? I had a pretty negative impression on my little girl. So this is how this idea of shame not only is self-destructive, but it destroys your relationships. I mean, that's a very impressionable child. It's not, who was adopted into my home later in life, And so I had to really begin to do some soul searching of why do I do this? And I wanted to get to the root issue, not just treat the symptom, but get at the root.
Right.
And it was a lot of those events that really triggered my search here.
And so whether it's failure, narcissism, regrets, you're saying that a lot of the hidden source of that is shame. Am I understanding that right?
It really is. And it's tricky because shame can produce very opposite looking symptoms in people. It can make one person cower in a corner and be a wallflower, be terrified of speaking. And it can make another person never shut up, always demand the room. Very opposite looking symptoms, but it's the same root driver in each of us.
Does that kind of fall in line with, you kind of use the metaphor of shame being like a virus in the operating system of our identity. So like producing different symptoms, is that part of that metaphor? And can you maybe unpack that a bit more for us?
Yeah, I love the idea of virus. I like the idea of symptoms and an illness.
Yes.
And what I found for myself is that we can be treating symptoms. And, I've had a lot of psychotherapeutic treatment, but it really wasn't until I understood that shame is the root of narcissism, which is completely backwards.
Right.
We all think ego drives narcissism, right? But really self-contempt and shame drive narcissism. Mm. And all of the negative behaviors that I was exhibiting in life were really very narcissistic negative behaviors. And they were symptoms, and I could go to anger management class. I could go to different, but until I really got and understood it and began to treat the virus, the thing that was causing the symptoms, then I really, was having a hard time making any progress. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really the issue is really, and I also think I like the idea of virus because Brene Brown, who's the shame guru, right?
Yes.
She's quite adamant that you never really get rid of shame. Mm-hmm. It's in you. It's a virus. But the idea is to learn how to cope with it, right?
Right.
So it's not like a bacteria that we could take an antibiotic and just get it out of our system. Mm-hmm. So we need strategies for living here. We need strategies for how to deal with this.
Absolutely. But the first strategy is naming it, as I'm hearing you say, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you once you name it, then you can begin to address it.
I think that, and I've never been to an AA meeting, but I think the AA community really has this nailed. Mm-hmm. Because one of the first things, at least in my, again, I know very little about it. I shouldn't be probably speaking on it, but one of the first things I think they encourage is the acknowledgement. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
That's step one.
It's step one, right?
We are powerless and have become unmanageable.
Yeah. My life has become unmanageable. Right. Acknowledgement and naming.
Naming it is absolutely like 50% of the battle, because mm-hmm. shame really wants to function unaware. It wants us unaware that it's happening. And mm-hmm. so really naming it, calling it out, is really 50, 60, 80% of the battle, I think.
Yeah. You know, I'm 68 years old, and when I grew up, it was a very common thing. Not so much today, although I still hear it occasionally. But when I was growing up, I heard a lot from people that loved me mm-hmm. and cared about me, and I know they did. But I heard, shame on you. Mm-hmm. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yep.
Now, again, I don't think that's gone away, but I mean, I guess what I want to ask is there any damn thing good about shame?
Well, I'll also tip my hat here to Brené Brown, because she insists no, and I follow suit. In fact, I was challenged on a radio program of a conservative Bible program that was quite adamant that shame is good. In fact, what we need was more shame, and it would stop negative behaviors if we all just had more shame. And of course, Brené Brown militates against that, and I do as well, because our shame is driven by self-contempt. And the more self-contempt we have, the more self-hatred we have, the more we're going to act out on that. No, I don't think there's anything good about it. The only thing that begins partly, this is what's tricky about shame, is initially it is a defense mechanism. It's there to protect us from embarrassing ourselves, from being exposed as vulnerable, as weak, as lesser than. So it kind of feels like it is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's what gets tricky, but it's not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and you grappled with this on the front lines. You were you got a master's degree and a doctorate degree in ministry.
Yeah,
you were an evangelical pastor. Along the way, you adopted a pastor in the South, and you and your wife adopt 4 black children. You got a lot of courage. You and your wife have a lot of courage there, Rick. And how much does all of that play into what you found and what you discovered?
When I went to a seminary for my degrees, and my intake exam, they do a psychological assessment of you.
Right.
And they let me know that basically pastoral candidates coming in, they score in the top 10% of humans for narcissistic traits. Pastors, people don't really. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, that's odd. I don't know why that strikes me as odd. That feels odd, because they don't seem like egomaniac. You know what I'm saying? But again, we don't have a good idea of what drives people to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And for me, it was a drive, a need to be important, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
And we could be doing really good things, like going into ministry, for all the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Paul the Apostle in the Bible says, you can speak in tongues of angels, but without love, you're a clanging gong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really? Not only is a clanging gong not helpful, but it's actually painful.
Yeah.
So, and then my doctoral dissertation really was on how shame has actually infiltrated the church, particularly in the new church start movement that's going on in the North America right now. So my entire experience in ministry was really built around this entire concept of how narcissism drives us in various vocations, but for me into ministry.
Yeah. You're speaking of it as if it's in the past. Are you're currently no longer a minister?
I am no longer an ordained minister. I found that, particularly to my denomination, but others as well, that a lot of the scripture had been manipulated to actually be dehumanizing to people groups. Mm-hmm. And I saw it in the Black community. Having Black children, which is really an odd thing, but you know, back it wasn't terribly long ago that we used Bible verses to validate slavery.
And then
women. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All kinds of things. I'm thinking of spare the rod and spoil the child. Yeah. We pull that one out.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Shame unmasked. Yep. This is a very, very interesting topic. Very, very important book. Shame Unmasked, Disarming the Hidden Driver Behind Our Destructive Decisions. We're talking to Rick Patterson, learning from him today, right here on Strategies for Living. We've got much more to learn from Rick. And we want you to stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center. .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with Learning RX Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, Learning RX Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems. Working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call Learning RX Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does Learning RX Shreveport.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies, strategies, strategies. Strategies for Living Radio.
Oh, we all need them. But we're hoping Rick Patterson has them. He's our life strategist, so we're dependent on him.
Oh, yeah. I think he's got quite a few.
Yeah, so far, so good. Hey, folks, welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Rick Patterson is our life strategist today. His book, you got to get this book. It's called Shame Unmasked. It's Disarming the Hidden Driver Behind Our Destructive Decisions. You can find it wherever you buy books. I know I saw it on Amazon. You can get it in Kindle form, or you can get it in printed form. Maybe Rick will let us do an audio book of Shame Unmasked. Shameless plug. All right. So, Rick, how do we begin? What's the beginning place to make peace with this inner driver that we didn't know was driving so much?
Well, I think, like you said previously, the first thing is to acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the second part is to understand what its basis is. And its basis is really in what I call self-contempt. Okay. That's even a little different than self-hatred. Self-contempt is where you look at yourself compared to other people.
Yeah.
Even an old standard you have for your own self, and you look down on who you are.
Yeah.
You know, with contempt.
Yeah.
And so it really becomes, I remember one time walking through the cattle field here. I raised bulls as a hobby, and I tripped and fell on something. I don't know. And the next thing I know, I stand up and I'm just cussing at myself. You know, Rick, you stupid piece of blah, blah. And I'm just, mm-hmm. and I thought to myself, who talks to somebody that way?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, if somebody was talking, if I watched, let's just say I saw somebody talking to my kid that way, I would stop them.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
But I won't stop myself from talking to myself that way. You know? And I think that, you know, the second piece of this is to really have that sort of arresting moment to say, I'm just not going to do that to myself anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. To make the decision. So we recognize it, and then we make a choice and a decision to do something different.
If we were to look at shame, mm-hmm. would it be out of the way to look at shame as a dis-ease?
Mm. Well, you know, that's a very good twist on it, because it is not only a disease, I think, a viral disease, but it also it's very complicated, so it's not easy in that way.
Right.
But it's also something that certainly does not put us at ease in any way. And one of the most uncomfortable things that we can do to combat shame, one of the things that I think I call it, the going nuclear on shame, is something I call the apology.
Mm. Okay.
And what I found is that apologizing actually totally dismantles shame. And the reason is because shame wants to have you prevent you from acknowledging you made a mistake. It wants to prevent you from acknowledging that you're human, that you have flaws, that you failed, you know, and so it's very, very difficult for most of us to apologize, to simply say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so one of the key strategies I tried to give to my children was I wanted them to see a dad who had the ability to apologize.
Yeah.
The fact that I was going to make mistakes, everybody knew that. But I thought if I can give them one life skill, it's the life skill to know that people make mistakes and you can apologize.
Yeah. Yeah. There can be repair made there. What I'm hearing.
Oh, tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry, David.
Well, if we break it down into a disease, if we say, okay, this is a disease, what are the symptoms? Mm. What, because it's important. As we said earlier, you want to acknowledge it. What am I, you know, what's the symptomology? What are the three or four main symptoms, if you will, of the dis-ease of shame?
Yeah, that's where it does absolutely get tricky there. And the tricky part is that it can be so different for different people. Right. And I think it's almost easier if we say, well, some of the symptoms are, you know, self-abuse, like I just mentioned.
Yep.
It can be physical or verbal or psychological self-abuse. It can be the abuse of others. Why am I abusive to other people? Why am I attacking them? Why am I needing to demonstrate some sort of superiority over them, which is also one of the issues that I came to with how oftentimes certain parts of the church today are using scripture, you know. And also, but I also think that that the flip side for somebody like me is if you have a narcissistic angle on this, you actually are completely unaware that you have that sort of self-hatred in you.
Right.
Mm.
You're just completely unaware. And David, I tell you, man, that is so hard when you're completely unaware.
Yeah.
And I had no idea the depth of self-hatred until we adopted these kids. And I began to really say, why am I like this with these kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work sometimes just to find the symptom.
Is that why you say in the book, Rick, you can't come out of shame in a vacuum? So
absolutely right.
Yeah. You've talked about your relationship with your kids, but in the book you also talk about your relationship with, you know, when you met your wife and you know how important that was. So talk a little bit about this idea of you can't come out of shame in a vacuum.
Yeah, really, I think it's one of the reasons I think biblically we're called to continue to be together, because it really is when we're together that we feel a need to defend ourselves, protect ourselves, to prevent ourselves from being vulnerable, right? From being exposed. But we're only going to be vulnerable and exposed. We're only going to feel shame triggered in us when we're around another human being. So it's critical to be around other people. It's critical to do things like these talk shows, or like you're like even writing a book or writing a song or doing anything artistic to show the world, you know, for other people to see and even critique, because it's only then when shame will rise up to our defense, and then we can see it, we can name it, and we can do something about it.
It's interesting. It makes me think, you know, we have to be in community in order to see that we are acting and feeling from such a place of separateness.
Absolutely. I one of the things I tell people is that one of the first things you can tell when shame has been triggered is if your feelings get hurt. If you suddenly have your feelings hurt, that right there will say shame is about to show up and help you. Help. I use air quotes. Help
right.
you. Right.
Protect you in some way.
Protect you. It's going to help protect you. And so when your feelings get hurt, are you feeling like I need to run? I need to hide? Are you feeling like I need to fight? That was always mine, right? And so as soon as we feel our feelings getting hurt, and for people who are like me, you know, we're too tough to have our feelings hurt, guys, that means if you all of a sudden feel like you're really ticked off right now, if somebody just ticked you off, that means they hurt your feelings,
by the way.
Then we have to understand, why am I so mad right now? Why did that hurt so much? Right? And then we will find shame.
Okay, so a lot of times people, and I don't think they're synonymous, but some people make shame and guilt.
Yeah, you took my question.
Synonyms.
Yep.
I don't think they're synonymous, but let's talk. Are they? You're the life strategist. So are guilt and shame the same thing? Are they related? If so, how?
No, guilt can actually be helpful, I found. For starters, shame is never helpful. But guilt can say something like, I screwed up. I made a mistake. So guilt can actually cause you to pause and apologize. It can help you grow. You can learn through guilt.
Right.
But while guilt says, okay, I made a mistake, what shame says is, you are a mistake.
Counseling room, I mean, I found myself distinguishing between shame
and guilt.
And healthy guilt and unhealthy guilt. So I tried to identify when I heard certain things, I tried to help people pull apart the difference between those three things. Because they are, we mix them up as humans, but I think they're very different. Even the healthy guilt from unhealthy guilt, you know?
Well, you know, if I do this all the time. If I screw up, if I do something I regret, which is going to happen 3 times, 5 times, 10 times today alone, right? If I use that as proof that I am a screw up, it becomes unhealthy guilt, right? If I use that to feed my self-contempt and my self-hatred and my shame, then it becomes unhealthy guilt. If I use it as honestly as I say, you know what? I screwed that up. I just made a mistake, didn't I? That means I'm human.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being human, but I need to go apologize. I need to try and make this right, and I need to move on.
Yeah.
That can be healthy guilt.
Yeah. 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 Because healthy guilt, again, motivates us.
Yeah, it motivates us to reconnect.
To do something positive.
Yeah.
Whereas the unhealthy guilt and shame tend to disconnect us, I think. Yeah. Am I getting that
shame
right?
Shame makes you want, absolutely, shame makes you want to run and hide. And I point out in the book that it happened in the Garden of Eden. That's how long we've been dealing with this, right? Is is Adam and Eve, they as soon as they realized they were naked, they felt vulnerable, they felt scared, they didn't want to be seen. So what do? They found fig leaves, they hid. They hid from God and they hid from each other. That's what shame does. It makes us want to hide from each other and God.
Well, we are disarming the hidden driver today behind destructive decisions. The book, it's a good one. It's called Shame Unmasked. Rick Patterson is the author. You can find it wherever you buy books. You can find it on Amazon, and I hope you will. And Rick Patterson is here. We've got more time with him today. He's our life strategist here on Strategies for Living. So stay with us, and let's learn more. Shame Unmasked today with Rick Patterson. We'll be right back.
To your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail, alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused.
Get the Godfather alligator Italian sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather alligator Italian sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's. TheBalancedLife.us.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you wanna holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies.
Welcome back in. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, Rick Patterson is our life strategist today. He's a good one. He's the author of Shame Unmasked, Disarming the Hidden Driver Behind Our Destructive Decisions. You'll find the book where you buy books. You'll find it certainly at Amazon, and I hope you will. I think this is... There are, as Rick has mentioned, as you mentioned, Rick, there's other people talking about this. Brené Brown talks about it. But I don't think we talk about it enough.
No.
And I don't think there's enough of us talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I found interesting, too, especially once the book came out, is it seems that women do a better job talking about this oftentimes than men do. They've got a much closer alignment with even the word shame. They've got seemingly a better connection, and maybe that's way over generalization, but they seem to have a better grip on the idea that, you know what, I really am have self-hatred. I have a lot of self-doubt, but it's much more challenging to try and have that conversation with men, I found.
Yeah. What's the connection, do you think, there between vulnerability and strength when dealing with shame? I think that's what you're touching on there.
Yeah, it is. You know, and yeah, you know, I think part of it is that for men to be vulnerable, for men to admit the idea of shame is shame inducing.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So it's like it's a shame spiral, I call it, right? Yeah. And so to even need to ask for help is terrifying for many men. It is for women too. I don't want to say it's not, but to admit some sort of weakness, to smallness. And I think that's the great challenge with shame is that we are imperfect. Mm-hmm. You know, we are not, I make this statement, we are not enough. But the lie is that we have to be enough, but we don't.
Yeah.
You know, we have each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very challenging for a man to admit that, to come to grips with that reality, you know. Yeah.
In writing the book, Rick, you touched on this earlier. You mentioned something about telling your story mm-hmm. is healthy, putting it out there. That takes courage. How did writing the book? I'm reading some of the 5-star reviews, and there's a bunch of them here. but how did the book change you? The process of writing this and putting this down, how did it change you?
Well, that's a good question. I think part of it, ironically, is that putting it down, it helps you name shame. Mm. It helps you declare what's going on inside of you, which, as we talked about earlier, is 50% of the battle.
Right.
I think that's a big part of it. I think the other thing I've found, which I think is really a great mystery of the universe, is that when you are vulnerable, people admire that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think you get what you find is the opposite of what you'd expect. When you are honest and sincere and vulnerable, people don't actually see you as weak
right.
or small or stupid. They view you as courageous. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it gives you an opportunity to hear some other voices about yourself that you're not necessarily saying to yourself about yourself, if that makes sense.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
I'm following.
You know, I mean, it's just what I found even in what I do preaching and things like that is that the vulnerability is a tremendous, people really have a lot of respect for that. It takes a lot of courage. And I think generally speaking, as a human race, we applaud it when we see it.
Yeah.
And we're so afraid it won't be true, you know?
Yeah, because I think on some level we must understand that it's through vulnerability that we're able to actually make that human soul contact with each other. It's through the cracks, if you will.
Yep. It's what, again, going back to Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah.
It's if they were actually able to say, okay, we don't need to do this. It's okay. We can be vulnerable. That's what brings us back together. It's what brings us back together with each other. It's what reunites us with God, right?
Yeah.
Because if we have the sense that God hates us, that he thinks we're worthy of abandon, well, we're not going to hang out with that God, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. What are the most important tools? Mm-hmm. What are the most important skills, the most important tools to get strong and to stay strong once I've unmasked shame?
In the process. Even,
yeah.
Just get started.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the most important tools for me has been to practice vulnerability, to tell somebody, to write the book. No, you don't have to write a book. You can tell your neighbor. You can tell your friend. You can tell your therapist. You can just talk to people, right?
Yeah.
But another one has been to actually read. One of the most helpful things for me was to hear that I'm not alone. Mm. Other people are doing this, are going through the same stuff I am, to to engage with the idea that Brené Brown experienced this, and to look at the different people who have struggled the same way I've struggled with anger, with depression, with all this stuff. I'm not alone, mm-hmm. right? And as soon as we find out we're not alone, that is tremendously empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And we can do that through reading, you know, through people who have experienced what we've experienced. Yeah. I think the third one I'd give you is just triggers. You know, yes. I could tell when I get hot, shame is knocking at the door. When I get angry, mm-hmm. the same as that means somebody's hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what that usually means is somebody is agreeing with my inner thought that somebody's agreeing that I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Someone's agreeing with me that I'm an idiot.
And then, you're not supposed to agree with me.
No, I want to strike out at them, you know? And yeah. So I think those are the main things are talking and reading, but then also just feeling what that trigger is. And when that trigger happens, to take that exact moment and win this exact moment in this battle, don't fire off that email. And if you do, you always have a nuclear option. Mm. Learn to apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think, Rick, what you're doing here is infusing a lot of hope. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing is that you're giving all of us, an alternative to shame, which is hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I mean, basically, people have told me that I can't be a narcissist because narcissists are not aware they're narcissists. They basically have said narcissists are hopeless, right?
Yeah.
And I can tell you it's not true. I mean, I have all the symptoms, and we can do battle with anything inside of ourselves if we simply choose to make it a daily battle, a moment-by-moment battle.
If we name it, we can.
If we name it.
And this book does a good job of naming it. It's called Shame Unmasked, Disarming the Hidden Driver Behind Our Destructive Decisions. The author is Rick Patterson. I hope you'll go get this book. We'll be back to wrap up here on Strategies for Living in just a moment. Stay with us.
You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road, plus the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283, and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail. And you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan with Rick Patterson, the author of Shame Unmasked, Disarming the Hidden Driver Behind Our Destructive Decisions. You can get it where you buy books. You can get it from Amazon. You can find Rick hanging out at rickpattersonconnects.com. Rick, there's so much here that we could go on for another 3 or 4 hours, but shame on us, we don't have it. What do you want to leave us with today? What do you really want to leave, you know, as we wrap up our conversation with you today?
The biggest thing that I think helps us all is to hear that we're not alone. And that was the principal driver for me to write this book, is to tell people you're not alone. Right. Whether it's the anger, the self-hatred, the self-harm, the narcissism, the depression, any of these things that are the symptoms that shame causes, I want you to know you're not alone. It's why I wrote the book, and it's why I continue to put this message out there, because I believe that shame's main goal is to separate us, to keep us apart. And I think if we overcome the idea that you're not alone, it takes us 99% of the way to healing and hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to hear shame on you, but what I'm going to say to you today, Rick Patterson, is good on you. Good on you. Good job.
And thank you. Thank you for the courage and for putting this work out here now. We need it. We all need it.
And thank you for being a great life strategist today on Strategies for Living.
Well, I've been great to be on here. Thanks for having me.
Folks, go get the book, Shame Unmasked, Disarming the Hidden Driver Behind Our Destructive Decisions, wherever you buy books. Lauren, thank you. Folks, thank you. We appreciate you being here on Strategies for Living, and we can do it because of our wonderful sponsors, the Robinson Film Center, Azalea Cleaners, Pintail Roofing, Learning RX, the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life and you only had one more phone call that you could make, who is it that you'd call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Rick Patterson, for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.